today we'll focus in on the Holy Spirit. Why we need the Holy Spirit. Now, Garth has been talking about revival and reformation. And we cannot experience revival and reformation without appreciating the place, the central place of the Holy Spirit. And not just in revival, but also in the reformation of renewing our minds. Even as we have said, as we discard the pattern and the mold of this world, we need the Holy Spirit. So, the first encounter we have with God is where we hear the word, we receive the word, we are convicted of our sin. And when we're convicted of our sin, we see the need for a Savior. So we ask for forgiveness, and God forgives us, and we make Jesus our Lord. And even as we're going through that change, even as we're going through the renewing of our mind, even as we're being transformed, the Christian life is also an exchanged life. It's not just a transformed life, it's an exchanged life. Because what you give up is your sin nature, and in return, you get the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, that's a very interesting subject, to know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. That when you're born again, your spirit is born anew. It's a new creature that never existed before. And therefore, when we are saved, what happens is that we get stuck if we don't go beyond there. But I have to be very clear that what is in no doubt is that once you're born again, if you die, you're going to go to heaven. That is for sure. However, after being born again or having salvation without being filled with the Holy Spirit is having or walking in a Christian life without power. Now, let me introduce the Holy Spirit, because it's not good to assume everybody knows who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Third person not because he's ranked lowest, but he's the third person of the Trinity. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the best way I can explain is that it is God, one God, in three different manifestations. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay, let me bring it to our level. It's like me, Sam Manjao. I am a father to Mageri and Manjao. I'm husband to Damaris, all right? I'm also a consultant in the real estate industry. And in church, I get opportunity to teach. So when I'm with Damaris and she's introducing me to her friends, she'll say, "Who do you lem say?" Ulem say liko na kisho. That guy. That's how she introduces me. No. When I'm with my kids and they introduce me to their friends, they'll say, "That is our father. This is our father." When I'm at work and a client is introducing me in a meeting, say, "This is my consultant." So these are the different manifestation of God. And therefore, the Holy Spirit is a manifestation of God. He's not an it. He's a person. All right? He's a person who comes and dwells on the inside of us. And as I said, salvation without the second encounter is of being filled with the Holy Spirit is a life lived without power. And as I said, it's very important that the first thing you need to do is to be born again. That is the doorway to God's kingdom. But there's more to being saved than just acquiring fire insurance from hellfire. Being born again is not just getting insurance that you not go to hell. There's much more to that. In between you being born again and going to heaven, there's a lot of living to do. Now, the Christian life, by the way, is not just hard or difficult. It is impossible in your own strength. It is impossible in your own strength. You're told that if you're slapped on one cheek, you're supposed to turn the other. If people revile you, you're supposed to bless them. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's the kind of life we're being called to live, we need the Holy Spirit. The disciples of Jesus needed the Holy Spirit themselves. And a case in point is the night before Jesus was crucified. We read about what he told the disciples in John chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. And those are words that we have to take to heart, because these were the last words of a man who was about to die. And he was communicating his heart and those things that, of course, he deemed very, very important. So this is what Jesus was telling them in John 14, verse 4 to 6. He says to them, and he's having a conversation with his disciples, "And where I go, you know. And the way, you know." Now, so Jesus is telling them, where I'm going, you guys know. And you know the way there. All right? But Thomas retorts and says, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. And how can we know the way?" I mean, that's interesting. Jesus has said, you guys know where I'm going and you know the way. But Thomas says, "I know. We don't know where you're going. We don't even know the way." And Jesus said to them, "Well, okay, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In other words, I'm going to the Father. That's where I'm going. I've told you guys this before. And you can only come to the Father through me. Now, what's amazing is that these guys have spent 3.5 years under the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And still, they do not have a clue what he's saying. That's why somebody called them disciples. Because Jesus is saying, what I told you guys. What's even more amazing is that the scribes and the Pharisees actually took what Jesus said more seriously. They tended to remember even his prophecy. There's one thing he said, and the scribes caught it. He said, "Look, I will die, and then on the third day, I will rise again." And what the scribes did is that they went to see the Romans, who were the rulers then, and they said, there's this guy called Jesus, and he said that he will rise on the third day once he dies. Eh? So could you come and give us some soldiers to guard the tomb? Because what we suspect is that the disciples will come and carry away his body and then claim he's risen again, all right? So we need soldiers there. And you know what? According to Bible scholars, they actually got 16 soldiers to guard the tomb. And we read this story in Matthew chapter 27, because sometimes you guys are looking at me like I'm making up this story. let's read it. All right, Matthew 27, 62 to 66. It says, "On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember. Compare that with what Thomas said. We don't know where you're going. They didn't remember. "We remember while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." It's amazing that the Pharisees remembered Jesus' prophecy. But his own disciples, who spent every waking moment with him for 3.5 years, could not remember that Jesus said he would resurrect on the third day. They could not remember. Actually, they had to be reminded by the angel who they found in the tomb. He's the one who had to tell them, "Guys, but let's read Luke 24, verse 6 to 7. So this is the angel talking to them, and he's saying, 'He's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" So the scribes and Pharisees were doing very well by remembering what Jesus said, although their motive was wrong, yet his own disciples could not remember. How many agree the disciples needed the Holy Spirit? Yeah, they needed the Holy Spirit. And in fact, that's why Jesus said to them in John chapter 16, verse 6 to 7, he's saying to them, "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. The word expedient means it's to your advantage. It's more efficient. It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the comforter or the helper will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Jesus is saying that it is better, it is to our advantage for us to have the Holy Spirit in us than to have Jesus with us in his physical body. That may sound controversial, but that's what he's saying. He's saying it's more efficient, it's to your advantage, it's more expedient for the Holy Spirit, for God himself to be in us than Jesus to be with us physically. And we're going to explore that a bit more. If you think about it, when Jesus was on earth, he was limited by his physical body. He could only be in one place at one time. Remember when Mary and Martha and Lazarus, who are very close friends of Jesus, their brother Lazarus was unwell. And Mary and Martha sent for Jesus. They said, Jesus, please come and heal our brother. So the message got to Jesus. But where he was, he still stayed another 2 or 3 days before he began his journey. And when Jesus arrives at their house, Martha says to Jesus, Jesus, if you only came a few days ago, our brother would still be alive. All right? Then outside there, I'm not saying at the same time, there's that centurion. The centurion is waiting for Jesus to speak a word so that his servant may be healed. In another corner, Peter is there, hoping that Jesus is ready to go to their house because the mother-in-law is unwell. Now, these are the close friends of Jesus who needed his help and healing. And here Jesus is limited. Well, spare a thought for blind Bartimaeus. Spare a thought for the woman with the issue of blood. What about those lepers who are waiting outside the city? And that's why Jesus is saying that it is more expedient. It's to your advantage. It's more efficient that I go away, that you may receive the Holy Spirit. He may come to you and live with you. So all these demands that were being placed on Jesus actually explain why Jesus was not on earth for very long, if you think about it. He was only here for 3.5 years, as in for his ministry. Of course, he was born and he grew up, but his ministry was 3.5 years. I've always wondered, why couldn't he hang around for 25 years or 50 years or 60? He had the power to do that. But he told us that it's more expedient that he goes away. And he was pointing to us the importance of the Holy Spirit, the importance of that second encounter of receiving the Holy Spirit. So as he said, that it's expedient that I go away, that you may receive the Holy Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit. So it's important that we discuss the benefits of being with the Holy Spirit, so that we have an understanding, because we'll carry on and we'll have an opportunity, not today, but perhaps in a couple of Sundays, to even receive, to have that second encounter, to receive the Holy Spirit. So number one, he helps us to remember. In John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." We've just read earlier in that particular chapter, verse 4 and 6, that conversation between Jesus and Thomas saying he doesn't know where he's going. So the Holy Spirit is supposed to bring us in remembrance of all the things that we have learned, all the things that we have been taught. In fact, Jesus, he told his disciples not to go out. After he had died and he ascended, he said, look, don't go out to be witnesses for me until you have received the Holy Spirit, because he will bring to remembrance everything that I have said unto you. We see that in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. That's what Jesus told them. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." It is important to remember what God has said or done for us, as Sharon was saying earlier on. And we even did a series on the book of Romans, where we talked about chapter 1 and verse 21, which says the stages that we go through when we are losing relationship with God. It says we first stop glorifying God as God. The next thing, we stop being thankful. The next thing, our imagination becomes vain. And the last thing is that our foolish hearts are darkened. Let me read Romans 1:21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, stage one, neither were thankful, stage two, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Those are the stages you go through, and you are totally out of fellowship with God. But for us to be thankful, we need to remember what God has done for us. And David gives us scripture that helps us to remember. Psalms 103, verse 1 to 5. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. It's amazing that all the things you've ever done, all the sin that you performed, those wrong things that you did, he has forgiven all of that. That alone is enough for you to just stand up and say, Father, I thank you and I give you glory and I honor you that you've forgiven my sin. Who heals all your diseases. He didn't say some, but all your diseases. It means that he has done his part. It is for us to receive that which is already done. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We have to remember the good things that the Lord has done. And those are just a few things. That he has forgiven our sins. He's healed all our diseases. He's redeemed our life from destruction. He has crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He has renewed our youth like the eagles. That's enough. But we need the Holy Spirit to remind us. The Holy Spirit will remind us if we are focused on him. And you know the reason why David is telling us in verse 2, he's actually commanding us to remember, is because we have a tendency to forget. The Holy Spirit reminds us of these benefits. Peter does the same in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. And here Peter is actually approaching his death. That's what scripture says. And this is what he's saying. It's also very important words for us to note. He says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. He's saying, look, I know you guys have heard the gospel before. I know you guys have had opportunity to also witness what Jesus said with me, but I'll not tire to remind you. That's what he's saying. Yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent. He's saying, as long as he's in that body, before he goes, before he's killed, he's saying it is right that he continues to do what he's about to say. To stir you up by reminding you. By reminding you of God's goodness. It is the Holy Spirit who reminds us of God's goodness. And when he does that, our hearts are stirred up for him. Our hearts are stirred up for him. When you don't remember what God has done for you, when you forget, what happens is that we grow in bitterness, because our memory is not stirred up of the things that God has done for us. Someone likens such a situation to a goose. You know, a goose doesn't have a great memory. It wakes up to a whole new world every day. I'm like, wow. It's a whole new world. Whatever happened yesterday, disciples, I can't remember. And Peter is reminding us once more. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, he says, this second epistle, he's saying, this second letter I'm writing to you, this second email, if you like, or text message, I'm writing to you guys before I go away. Yeah? Now I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Let us remember what the Lord has done. Let the Holy Spirit help us to remember. Number two, he teaches us all things. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. The Holy Spirit teaches us all things through revelation knowledge. You know, Peter denied Jesus three times. But when he received the Holy Spirit, because they've been told to tarry until the Holy Spirit came, he preached a sermon that was so inspired of the Holy Spirit that 3,000 people came to be born again. And when we read Acts chapter 2, we see the Holy Spirit revealing to Peter. Those are the guys who couldn't remember Jesus had told them he'd rise on the third day. So the Holy Spirit is inspiring Peter and reminding him of prophecies, of the prophecy given by Joel, saying that in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. That your young men and women will see visions and prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. He's reminding him of what David says, that David was not talking about himself when he says, the Lord will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. He was talking about Jesus. Peter was preaching this message. He couldn't remember these things unless he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So Peter preached a serious message on that because he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. But what's amazing is that Paul, who was not a disciple of Jesus or did not walk with him, actually had a greater revelation of Jesus Christ than Peter did. Oh yeah, he did. Because this guy, number one, he was inspired to write most of the New Testament. There are certain situations he would say or things he would say. Peter had to say, look, Paul, the things you're saying, man, they're difficult to understand. Yeah? It's because even him, you're still trying to grapple with them. But this Paul who spent 3 years in the desert just praying in the Spirit, he had a great revelation of Jesus Christ. It's amazing that Paul had a greater revelation of who Jesus was by the Holy Spirit more than Peter who walked with him on earth. In fact, Paul tells us these things, the way they're revealed by the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. He says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We make a mistake when we stop there. Because people have made doctrine out of that. That eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love them. Praise God. Yeah. But he goes on to say, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. I'm not telling you something you don't have. You have the mind of Christ. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the mind of Christ. And he searches all things. He'll reveal these things if you ask him. If you spend enough time with him to draw whatever he has for you, he'll let you know. He's desiring to have fellowship with you. Number three, he gives us power. All the disciples, including Peter, forsook Jesus before the Holy Spirit came. I don't know that some of you have read that scripture. Matthew 26, verse 56, it says, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They all denied Jesus. All of them. People only talk about Peter, but all of them. All of them. And that's why Jesus told them, look, don't go out and be witnesses for me until you have received power from on high. He tells them in John 2:24, but Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. Jesus was saying, look, I'm not committing myself to you guys now until the Holy Spirit comes. Because they had every right to say, Jesus has died. We've heard the good news. We're witnesses. Let's go out and preach. And sometimes that's what we do in church. Yeah, a guy is born again today because he's a celebrity. We tell him, okay, now go and spread the word for us. And that guy has not been discipled. Probably hasn't even received the Holy Spirit. And he'll do it out of a good motive. And also the people who send him mean well, I'm sure. But he'll go and mess up. He'll go and mess up if what he's saying he's not inspired of the Holy Spirit. We need discipleship of the Holy Spirit. I'm not just saying you'll be a disciple of Sam or Pastor Garth or Pastor Kevin. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things, as we said. All right? So he told them to wait until they received power. And he says to us in Matthew 26:56, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. So after they fled, and he told them he will not commit himself to them, Jesus tells them in Luke 24, verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye have been endued with power from on high. For us to live an effective and consequential Christian life, we need the Holy Spirit. We need to receive, to have that second encounter of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing the things that he whispers to you when you're in fellowship with him. And I'm not promising that everything will be instantaneous, nor I'd be lying to you. It is a process. You grow. You grow in fellowship with him. You grow to know who he is. Then he begins to teach you all things. You open up scripture and things jump at you. You begin to operate in power. It's a gradual process. That's the essence. That's the beauty, you know, the utamu of that relationship, because everything is new. Every day you go from one glory to another. That's what I'm talking about, that he'll give us power to do all these things. Number four, because in the interest of time, we'll move on. He guides us into all truth and shows us things to come. He says this in John chapter 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Out there, there's a lot of doctrine going on. There are things which are said. You're not very sure whether that's really what God meant. But the Holy Spirit will be a witness. If you keep yourself meditating on the word, if you keep yourself in fellowship with him, he'll tell you, that doesn't make sense. According to what I've taught you, this does not make sense. And he gives you scripture to back that up. So it's not just a feeling that you have, because it's very important to distinguish between feelings and revelation. I always say, do not be led by feelings, by emotions. They can take you to wrong places. Yeah, feelings and emotions can get you into a lot of trouble. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Let him guide you into all truth. Let him reveal to you, this is right, this is what you do. He also reveals the word of God to you. Some things I say to you is what I've heard. Some have been taught and I learn. But there comes an opportunity and time. He'll say something to you and you'll be like, wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. That's what he does. He guides you into all truth. And as I close, let me share this scripture. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1. It says, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. That is us. We seek after righteousness. You're here because you are seeking after righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn. We have the same spirit as our Lord Jesus Christ, scripture says. We look up to that rock. We look to that rock from where we were hewn. We were hewn from that rock. And he says, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug, from where he removed you from. We need to remember and see and know who we truly are. Look to the rock from which you are hewn. This cannot be come to you from your own thinking. It has to be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. And when that becomes the case, your life is like fire shut in your bones. You just want to say and speak of His goodness. The Holy Spirit desires to fill each and every one of us. And I've just enumerated some of the benefits. And there are many more. I'm not saying those are the only ones. There are many, many more. And He can continue to reveal them to you. So this second encounter of being filled with the Holy Spirit is important because these are the steps and things that He does for us. That enriches our relationship and our walk with Him. And I invite each and every one of you who's not filled with the Holy Spirit, and even those who are filled and not exercising that opportunity, to desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You for Your word. Your word is truth. Your word never falls to the ground. The entrance of Your word brings light. And when Your word is sown in our hearts, Father, we thank You today it finds good ground. We refuse for the enemy to steal that word because we lack understanding. Father, we thank You that we will meditate and nurture this word, that it will grow and it will bear fruit, and this fruit will remain. Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit. We thank You that You sent Him to us and You said it was to our advantage. It was expedient that You go away so that You send the Holy Spirit. You said it was expedient for the Holy Spirit to be in us than You being with us physically here in Your body, because You love us so much. And You, Father, You desire that we do greater things, greater works than You even performed. Because one could be in Kuala Lumpur healing the sick, another in Nairobi, raising the dead, and another in South Africa, preaching the gospel of the Holy Spirit. Thank You. It is more efficient, Father. We thank You that indeed You saw it more expedient for us to have the Holy Spirit. And we nurture that desire. But Father, even as we nurture that desire, we thank You for the first encounter, which is the exchanged life, where we give up our sin nature and we receive the righteousness of God in Christ. It is the doorway to Your kingdom. And Father, we desire to be with You forever and ever. And those amongst us who have not asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior, that is the first step. That is the doorway to God's kingdom. Even before you experience the second encounter that we've spoken about, the first one is to be born again. If you're here and you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I ask you and invite you to make Him your Lord and Savior. Just lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand and put it down. Once and see it, you can put it down. I invite you to make Him Lord and Savior. Here on earth, the most important question we'll answer is, what will you do with your Lord Jesus Christ? What will you do with the fact that He died for you? That He forgave your sins, that He took your place, He took your penalty. What will you do? Will you accept that forgiveness? Or will you say, nah, I'm okay? What will you do? Everything else is secondary. That is the most important question that we have to answer. If that's you today, just lift up your hand and you can put it down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, He who convicts of sin. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even after we close the service, feel free to come to the front. There'll be somebody here to lead you to receive, because it's very, very important. Eternity is a very, very long time. We're here on earth for 70, 80, 90, 120 years. But eternity, you can't put a number to it. It's a very, very long time. And you need to make that decision to spend eternity with Him. Father, I thank You
for the Holy Spirit that He's spoken to our hearts. He's tugging at the hearts of those who do not know You. He's convicted them of sin and they see the need for a Savior. Father, we thank You that indeed as You've spoken in Your Word, You desire to fellowship with us. For us to explore and have full use of the Holy Spirit in us. To discover purpose, Father. To discover that which You created us for. We know, Father, primarily it is for fellowship with Thee. But we thank You even for the ministries that You've given each and every one of us. For those gifts that You've placed in us. Thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. We honor and acknowledge the Holy Ghost in us. And we thank You for Him. And I thank You for every person who's listened and received this word. We thank You, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you.